What's up, everybody? It's Thursday. It's the Maggie Dawn Show. I've got a couple questions for you, but I also have a guest for you. My most dear friend, fellow radio personality, Dom Salvia. Thanks for sticking around with me this afternoon.
Oh, Maggie, it's the least I could do. Thank you for joining us today as well.
Oh, my gosh. So much fun.
I know.
And Thursdays are generally like talk back Thursdays. So things that have come out in the news during the week that we maybe didn't get a chance to talk about all that much, both for you and I and for our listeners. So if you want to give a shout out about some bit on the news, hash it over with Dom and I about what's going on. Ask our opinions about it. Maybe you'll even find a thing that Dom and I disagree about, because that's always the best of times.
Right.
Anything is fair game today. 844-967-2789. But there was something this week that, unless you're a little wonkified, may have escaped our keen attention. And that is that there was a big vote that happened in the state of Ohio on Tuesday, Dom. And what was so big about it is that it seemed like this really technical ho-hum thing. The vote on Tuesday in Ohio was, are they going to change the way they change the Constitution in Ohio? And so the question that was posed to Ohio voters was, should the threshold for changing the Constitution be a 50% vote or a 60% vote?
And it's been a 50%
vote. And it's been a 50% vote for over 100 years in the state of Ohio. So that's really important to keep in mind.
For like a binding referendum, right?
Basically.
We don't have that here in the state of Wisconsin.
That's correct. This is a unique little tidbit for Ohio. Now, Ohio, not unlike Wisconsin, has been trending very red, okay? And it has been gerrymandered all to smithereens. So our sister state to the east of us and a little south has a lot of similarities, except they've got a GOP governor. So that's the table set, right? Now, why, my dear friend, my fine furry friend here.
Yes, Maggie.
Why do you think it is that, you know, now would be when we're going to change how we change the Constitution in Ohio?
Well, I would imagine it's been something that's been churning in the state for a long time, pondering why is it this way? Let's change. Oh, wait. I know.
Do you know, Dom?
Abortion?
Oh, boom. Of course it's abortion. So we got the Dobbs case last summer, right? And in Ohio, knowing that they have this ability to change their state constitution, there is a movement who now has on the November ballot a constitutional amendment in the state of Ohio to enshrine and protect a woman's right to choose. And it's interesting because the GOP really didn't want to make this referendum about changing the way they change the constitution. They didn't want it to be about abortion. It was like, don't make it about abortion. We know most Americans think that should be legal, so let's not talk about that. But oopsies, the current Secretary of State in Ohio, a guy by the name of Frank LaRose, said last week in an interview, we're talking about protecting the state constitution. Yes, against a radical abortion amendment, minimum wage increases, and to help prohibit gun regulation in the constitution. You know, those bad things that we should avoid.
The same GOP that's trying to make inroads into younger voters.
Right. You know, align your values with the way that younger voters are moving, and I'm sure your demographics will sort out just fine. And that's really what was at issue here. So the result in Ohio, Dom, was just freaking amazing.
Staggering,
in fact, would be an absolutely correct word. So here's what we've got in Ohio. And by staggering, I mean staggering. So the total outcome of the race, by the way, it was called before it even got to 8 Ohio on Tuesday night. The decision desk, HQ, called it at 8:09. So there was a whole bunch of them. Even conservatives were calling it really early. Here's what. 15 counties in Ohio that voted for Donald Trump in 2020 voted to defeat changing the rules after the game has started.
15 counties.
Now, 66 counties in the state of Ohio that voted for Trump voted to, yes, let's change the rules mid-game. But 15, and that just to me is unbelievable, the numbers there. And in some of these very conservative suburban counties, The proportions were staggering. Two come to mind. 58% of voters in Delaware County, which is just north of Columbus, Ohio, rejected issue one, despite that being a Republican county from the olden times.
Wow.
They have voted Republican in every race since 1916.
What?
Yes.
1916. And they rejected this county.
And they rejected changing the rules in the middle of the game.
Dom, you would remember the last time they voted that way, huh? Sorry, I had to.
Thank you, Anya. Thank you, Anya.
Ooh, that's smart.
Yes, well done. Well done. Short jokes, old jokes. Listen, I'm here for you.
Yeah, if you want to make fun of Dom, you can join us 844-967-2789. If you want to see how short my little buddy actually is in real life, you can watch the Maggie Dom Show live on YouTube and on Facebook. Come here, little buddy. You don't want to miss that. So, Delaware County in Mahoning County, which used to be a very blue-collar Democratic county, but since the sort of populist knuckle-dragging MAGA movement, they've been voting Trump, and they're basically controlled by a GOP county party that is very MAGA, okay? 58% in Mahoning County also opposed changing the rules in the middle of the game. I mean, holy cow! Here's the last one that I want to share with you. In Ohio's Clark County, issue one was losing by a single vote by 11:30 p.m. Tuesday night. So basically it was like, and I don't know exactly what the vote count was. I didn't have time to get there, but literally it was like, which way is this ballot going? I mean, it was down to the bitter end. And check this, Dom. Donald Trump won Clark County in 2020 by a 61% to 38% vote margin. And they almost lose in Clark County. By the way, this was the only thing on the ballot this past Tuesday in Ohio. And they had a turnout that equates the usual turnout that they get for gubernatorial or governor elections.
That's unbelievable. You're talking a Tuesday in the middle of summer in August.
Vacation time.
Right, right. You think that the timing was on purpose as well?
You wonder, don't you?
Well, of course it was.
I don't know. You out there in Radio Land, would you interrupt your vacation to come and vote on whether or not to change the rules in the middle of the game to make it impossible for folks to enshrine the right to abortion in our Constitution? I might stop a vacation to do that.
I might make a point, yes.
Might make a point to show up for that one. Absolutely.
And people did. And well done, Ohio.
Yes. Round of applause for Ohio. Well done, Ohio. Come on, Wisconsin. We can too.
We can do it too.
We got Janet. Let's see what happens next. But to me, all of this wraps up that you can make extrapolations about the implications for the Senate races because, you know, that La Rosa Secretary of State guy that was like, well, we want to change the rules so that people can't regulate guns and, you know, so women can't get abortions, said the quiet part out loud.
Yeah.
Guess who's running against the Democratic Senator Sherrod Brown from Ohio in 2024?
That guy.
Yeah, that guy.
That guy.
Woo! All right, so we got a couple of texts coming in. I missed that first one, Anya. Could you read that one out for us?
Yes, our first one up top was Jim and Appleton here. How do you feel about the latest law and liberty threat directed at Appleton East High School?
Yeah, is this the Appleton East High School where they wanted to have a welcome back to school gathering for students of color? Right. And now the Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty is suing because that's racist. First of all, let me just get this straight and I'll ask Dom this question. White people cannot be suffering the systemic effects of racism. That's just not possible. It doesn't work. Can a person be biased against white people? Yes.
Certainly.
But the idea that white people sort of are oppressed by racism is just false. It's not possible because white people hold the levers of all of the major institutions of power.
The institutional racism in these systems was created by white people.
By white people, for white people. Right. There was an old commercial, for you, by you, something like whatever. In any case, yeah, that's Jim from Appleton. This is ridiculous. Nothing in the Supreme Court's ruling on affirmative action, Dominic, said anything about we can't talk about race, we can't invite people to gather because they happen to share a demographic characteristics. You know, does the Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty think like the German Club in Appleton should also be shut down?
Absolutely.
Let's be clear here. The affirmative action case, the Harvard UNC case, dealt with one particular and frankly extremely unique scenario. And that is a closed system that is a zero-sum system. What do I mean by that? There's only X number of slots to get into a college. They can only take so many students, right? So you either get it or you don't. Nothing about the affirmative action case said anything about the fact that, like, you can't invite students of color, who I'm just going to go out on a limb here, Dom, and assume are probably minorities in Appleton.
Probably.
And ask, hey, would you like to gather and meet some of the other people who are also minorities, you know, by the maths in our very lily white, very Republican leaning community, because you might want to have a network and feel welcomed? Yeah. Well, that's that. Next text. Unnamed. Again, if you're going to text us, let us know who you are and where you're from. I'd really like to know why Josh Call is not pursuing the fraudulent electors. I'll let you take this one.
Well, that's a great question, unnamed texter, and we're glad you asked it. Josh Call has said, well, you know, we can't comment on ongoing or potential litigation. And he has also said he was going to defer to the feds. And we see the feds, you know, taking some action. But Dana Nessel, the AG over in Michigan, she's lighting them up, lining them up, and knocking them down. They had their hearing today, like 16 of those fraudulent electors had to say not guilty in front of a judge. So it would be nice to see our attorney general go down that path. We have a neighboring state with the same kind of issue. Now, granted, laws are different state to state, but certainly would like to see some action. Hopefully there is some action going on behind the scenes that we're not aware of. I hope we're not just relying on Jack Smith and the feds. We can take care of our own here in Wisconsin, Judge Call.
You know, that's a question for you out there. Two of them, really. Do you think Josh Call is going to do this or not, right? The second question is, when we look at this vote in Ohio and the other seven elections that have gone down on the favor of privacy rights, does this bode doom for the GOP in Wisconsin? 844-967-2789.
When the boats all get to sailing and the men are up and gone, what about the women who are left all alone? Do we sit at home and twiddle thumbs until our men come home? Oh, there's other things to twiddle when a girl's left on her own. Twiddly-idy-idy-o, twiddly-idy-ay, well, there's lots of times.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I want to know, when is Josh Call getting off his butt and indicting some fake electors already?
Maybe he's doing it, we're just not aware of it, Maggie. I mean, that's possible.
I watch him at press conferences and whatnot. I've met him a couple of times. Not what I would call like a scintillating public speaker, not a real beacon of legal visionary thinking. Maybe that's just me. Yeah, I want to know, when is Josh Call getting off his butt? You got a take on that? Call us, text us, 844-967-2789. But the real question of the hour, the sort of setup here, is what does the vote in Ohio and the other election, the other six elections, so seven in total, post Dobbs, that all went on the pro-abortion side, what does this all portend for the GOP? Especially here in Wisconsin, now that you got Janet on the ballot. And let's just briefly remind everybody the seven elections that we're talking about. So what do you think? Does the GOP need to be sounding an alarm? I mean, that Ohio election should have them quaking in their boots. 844-967-2789. So here are the seven elections. One is Janet's election.
Here in Wisconsin.
Right? That went on the pro-abortion side, right? The next one is this Ohio issue 4. Do we change the rules in the middle of the game? That one went on the pro-abortion side. Then we had four red states. Four of them.
Like very red states.
Very red. Kansas, Kentucky, Montana, and Ohio is counted in that as well. Now, it's not that they enacted a constitutional amendment to guarantee the right to abortion, but they, the other three states, Kansas, Kentucky, and Montana, declined to implement state laws or constitutional amendments to make abortion illegal. Okay. Then the other two swing states, we got Michigan and Wisconsin. Michigan's now all blue. You've got a trifecta of Democratic control in the state of Michigan, House, Senate, and the governorship. And then two liberal states, Vermont and California, added the right to abortion to their constitution. Here's the total, Dom. All of these measures in 2023 mean that 500 of 510 counties, abortion outperformed what Biden pulled in those same counties in 2020. So you get what I'm saying here? Yeah. Like, abortion is driving people to the ballot box and driving engagement more than Biden did in 2020.
More than the president of the United States.
Correct.
Yeah.
And by greater proportions are those measures being won on the pro-abortion side. So my question to everybody out there, 844-967-2789, is... does this portend disaster? It has been a little bit of a theory of mine that you can gerrymander your party into irrelevancy. If you make your districts so extreme that what you get is low-quality candidates who are nut jobs that aren't looking to lead or inspire or actually legislate anything.
And are not actually representative of the people that they are claiming to represent, hence the gerrymander.
Correct. And this all goes back to the Tea Party movement. I think we can point back to Newt Gingrich and sort of the trappings, the beginnings of all of this, this move towards extremism, right, and take no prisoners, scorched earth politics. That has the GOP gerrymandered itself into a backlash. Fine, you flouted all of the normal Supreme Court appointment rules and now have stacked the court with people that are completely out of touch. You've gerrymandered us into Van Orton
not
in
just
Wisconsin.
Out of touch, but out on vacation.
You know, in their 38 trips paid by other people, their RV donated by some rich guy.
You know, some of these extremist U.S. Supreme Court justices have a hell of a life, Maggie.
Right? Oh. I was like, wait a minute. How do you get into a position of public trust and then you start like rolling in the dough and hanging out with billionaires? A red flag doesn't go off.
Right.
An ethics watchdog, as I was entering governmental service, this is when I was like 23 years old, going to clerk for a federal appeals court judge. He's like, listen to me. When you go into public service, the only rich friends that you have are the rich friends that you had before. If you get new rich friends, be warned. They want something from you. So,
no, really?
Yeah.
I mean, they're just generous.
Yes. They just want to give me an RV.
I got a lot of friends, you know?
I got a lot of friends. They drive me around on private planes.
I mean,
it's all fine.
I'm a nice guy, you know? I got lots of friends. I'm very I'm very popular. I'm very important. And what am I going to do, say no?
I
don't want to be rude.
Yeah.
And I know all those, you know, those the course or the instruction you took prior to joining that the federal government, right?
Yep.
Those don't apply to the U.S. Supreme
Court.
No. They apply to all the other federal judges.
Right. But not the Supremes.
But not. And why is that again?
Because they said so.
Oh, okay.
Must
but there's
be
a
fine.
Reason for it to apply to all the other federal judges, right? There's justification for it. Why couldn't all the other federal judges just use the same excuse as the U.S. Supreme Court? Say, we're not going to worry
about
it.
Maybe not.
Yeah, we're not going
to
do that.
Because the Supreme Court actually gets to tell all those lower courts what they get to do.
Who tells the Supreme Court what to do?
That would be Congress, except if you're Justice Alito being interviewed by the Wall Street Journal last week, in which case he said there's nothing in the Constitution that gives Congress the power over the courts, you know, except for Article 2, you adult. This is a Supreme Court justice. Listen, we got Jim from Appleton. You're on the Maggie Don Show.
Hi.
Hello,
guys.
Jim.
How's it going?
Hey, good.
I sent in my text earlier, and I'm going to get off that subject because you were rolling with gerrymandering, making you obsolete. The Democrats did that in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, which is why we have this terrible Republican wave in Wisconsin. They had a chance to make gerrymandering illegal and codify it into law and possibly change the Constitution. They chose not to. They were complacent and created the mistake the Republicans are making now.
So, I couldn't agree with you more. I'm sorry I had to cut you off, Jim, my friend, but we've got to go to break. Thank you so much to my little buddy, Dom.
Thank you, Meg. Always a pleasure, man. We'll do it again.
We are going to do this some more because it's just too much darn fun, especially on Thursdays. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Join us. 844-967-2789. Is the GOP making itself irrelevant?
Just a lad. A sailor's life is very hard. The food is always bad. But now I've joined the Navy. I'm aboard a man of war. And now I found a sailor ain't a sailor anymore. Don't haul on the rope. Don't climb up the mast. If you see a sailing ship, it might be your last. Just get your civvies ready for another on the shore.
A sailor
ain't a sailor, ain't a sailor anymore.
Is the GOP gerrymandering itself into clown show irrelevancy? Question of the day, 844-967-2789. We're touching on anything also that y'all want to talk about today. Of course, I have substance prepped for you, but we can talk about whatever you want. 844-967-2789, because it's Talk Back Thursday. We were talking a little bit before because the Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty has filed a lawsuit against the Appleton High School or school district because they put out a flyer that said, hey, if you're a student of color, we're having an open house welcoming homecoming sort of thing party before the school year starts. And I forgot to mention this, so a texter reminded me, thank you, texter, that the flyer also said, white kids welcome too. Because you know what black people hate? When, like, white folks show up, in alliance and in allegiance and in partnership and in equity. For real? So, yeah, that's what the Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty are concerned with eradicating from our state, the scourge of inclusive black-centered events. Oh, my goodness. Heavens to Betsy. A couple of you have sent some very flattering texts, and I see those. Thank you very much. Andrew, who is on the line, sorry I didn't get to you. If you do want to call back in with whatever your hot topic of the day is, you are more than welcome here on the Maggie Dawn Show. 844-967-2789. Here's what. I have had a sneaking suspicion that if the Republican Party does not correct course, and I don't know if it's possible, right? When you see the Speaker of the House willing to cut deals with the deplorables, when Mitch McConnell is finding it hard to find his voice when he's not, in a moment of pause, it's a question, can they correct course? I don't see Robin Voss really being a thought leader here in trying to set down the trappings of anti-woke baloney and return to governance. He's not doing that. He's going after DEI programs in the UW system. Because again, let's be sure we rid the state of Wisconsin of the scourge of inclusivity in understanding cultures that are different from our own. That's a terrible thing. We don't want our college students having understanding about that. Conservative commentator Patrick Brown tweeted after the Ohio shellacking on Tuesday night this. The Ohio result tonight coming on the heels of the shellacking in Michigan and the unexpected loss in Kentucky needs to be a 5-alarm fire for the GOP. Pro-life advocates in the GOP have to adapt, even if that means unwelcome compromise for the time being. We'll keep running it into the ground if we don't. From your lips to the divine diva's ears, may she see us and protect us all in her infinite wisdom. Snaps for that. Yes, Anya.
Mm-hmm, sister. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Everyone should be nodding and humming at their radios right now. So that's what I think we've got here, because just understand the logistics of gerrymandering. The whole point is to make some districts so overwhelmingly one-sided that you don't have real contests anymore, that the election outcomes are decided ahead of time. I have heard this referred to as authoritarian democracy, where you have the appearance of voting, but the outcomes are predetermined by those who are already in power, designed to keep themselves in power. Some food for thought, right? And when you do that, you will get more extreme policy positions because you don't have candidates that have to compromise or that have to win contested general elections. The only real action is in the primary, which means they're trying to like out-extreme one another. So you also end up with lower quality candidates, in my opinion, because reasonable people, smart people who care about policy and actually pay attention to detail and want to know what objective data says about these various, very tough, very pernicious problems in our society, they don't want to have to speak the language of stupid. So they don't bother anymore. So your candidates get, frankly, lower in quality. Need I list the names here? Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Matt Gaetz, Van Orton right here in homegrown Wisconsin. Ron Johnson is a low-quality candidate. The guy says stuff that is just stupid all the time. George Santos, right? And when you have low-quality people with low intellect, very little desire to actually serve, with more extreme positions being demanded by the extremes of the base, you get more extreme policies, right? We're seeing this all over the place. And again, I'll tag this back to the Newt Gingrich era and Tea Party. And guess what we've seen over these approximate 20 years or so of more extreme, more gerrymandered GOP legislative district drawing? We've seen the middle class shrink. We've seen real incomes go down. We've seen wealth inequality explode. We've seen the challenge, the argument that civil rights shouldn't be granted to certain people if they're not like us. We've seen a derogation, a decreasing of all of the things that we as Americans, regardless of our party, hold dear. Voting rights, civil rights, middle class wealth. It's all less now. And my suggestion to you is that this is the direct result with the GOP embracing the cheat. What is the cheat? The cheat is we can't win with our policies, so we'll change the rules in the middle of the game so that we can force our candidates down the throats of the American public. There is no sense of fair play. This is moving the goalposts. Pick your sports analogy. And it has resulted in a Supreme Court filled with grifters. Clarence Thomas, I'm looking at you, man. And people that think they are beholden and answerable to no one. Sam Alito, I'm looking at you, man. And they are making decisions and enacting policies that Americans simply don't want. And even those who are moved by the racist undertones of the current MAGA populism, the otherizing, the reality is that the policies of the MAGA movement, the policies of the GOP are hurting those middle-class working families just as they're hurting women, just as they're hurting everyone, black, brown, purple, or Haitian in the middle class. And we know that this is true because convicted fraudsters are now given platforms over 20-year dedicated public servants who were and are dedicated Republicans. I'm talking about a woman by the name of Margaret Rose Bostelman. Marge. She was the clerk in Green Lake County for some 20 plus years. And she was recently interviewed by ProPublica, and their reporting was shared in the Wisconsin Public Radio Network. My thanks to a listener named Rob, who sent me the article. If you send in feedback, if you send in ideas to Civic Media, maggie.dawn@civicmedia.us, I will talk about them if I think they're interesting. And this one was, so thanks, Rob. Miss Bostelman, 2 years ago, became a Republican member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And since the end of the 2020 election, she has been vilified and attacked and driven out of the Republican Party of Green Lake County. She basically was brought to like weeping during the interview with ProPublica because it bothers her so much. Here's what Republican she is. By the way, she's got a back the badge sign in her front yard. I've always voted Republican. I always have. I've voted for Trump twice. This is Marge. Here's what the Green Lake GOP chair issued in a statement in November 21 because Ms. Bostelman refused to support or repeat the lies that people like now admitted liar Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell, Donald Trump, and other co-conspirators were trumpeting, because she wouldn't do that. The Green Lake GOP chair issued a statement that says, Ms. Bostelman's actions do not reflect the principles and values and beliefs of the Green Lake County Republicans in this case. Supporting the proper enforcement of the law and election integrity, Ms. Bostelman is no longer a member of the Republican Party of Green Lake County. Okay. Wow. Wow. Here's what Ms. Bostelman has said. I am a Republican who stands up for the truth and not for a lie. She will not give up her seat on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And at their meeting in June, when the Wisconsin Election Commission's executive director, Megan Wolf, was under extraordinary attack from the MAGA extremists in the Wisconsin GOP, Ms. Bostelman, a lifelong Republican, two-time Trump voter, said this about Megan Wolf. She is a scapegoat. She is being unfairly blamed. She said she received a call before that meeting, left her a voicemail. The person said, the Patriots will not be happy if you support Megan. She's getting threatened. Okay? But I'm a Republican who stands up for the truth and not a lie. She said in the interview, Joe Biden won the election in 20. That's what we're dealing with. It is the GOP's turning on grandma. Their own grandma, a public servant of 20 plus years. And who are they choosing to elevate and believe over the grandma who has served the public for 20 plus years? Trust fund baby, silver spoon in their mouth growing up, convicted federal fraudster Peter Bernegger. This guy has been allowed to testify before Wisconsin legislative committees. He's suing to remove Marge from the Wisconsin Election Commission. And yes, this guy was convicted in 2008 of federal fraud in order to pay back some $1.75 million. He was sentenced to 70 months in jail. And this is who the GOP is choosing to elevate. And oh, by the way, he's got some loose affiliations with this organization set up by Mike Lindell, who solicits funding through this other named organization. And I'm not saying the names of them because I don't want people checking them out, spending any time with it. But the fundraising arm for this like voter integrity group that Bernegger promotes, that fundraising group, guess who founded a company by exactly that name in 2022? Peter Bernegger. Don Millis, the chair of the Wisconsin Election Commission, a Republican, an attorney who I've actually litigated against. I know Don, he's a good guy. He's a Republican. Here's what he said in the June meeting. It's not about winning or preventing fraud. It's about getting publicity or attention. It's about grifting, convincing others to donate to their cause. I'm referring to a small group of people who are trying to get paid or raise money by spreading lies through social media or newsletters. There are many people who believe them who don't know any better. don't be one of the people who don't know any better. If you are on the line, I see you, John Scott and Mark from the SAC. I'm going to get you when we come back. You will be first up. Get your say in it. It is Talk Back Thursday. Anything is open for discussion on the Maggie Dawn Show, 844-967-2789. But my question to you for today is, has the GOP gerrymandered itself into complete irrelevancy?
Teeth are falling out. We got spots on our back, so give it up and shout. We got scurvy, we need some vitamin C. We got scurvy, we need a lemon tree. We got scurvy, we just chilling on the sea.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to Female Pirate Music this afternoon, brought to you courtesy of my producer extraordinaire, Anya. The reason is we got a little pirate studio that we work out of here. Let's try to keep from devolving into complete piratisms. I'm going to go to the lines right away. Is the GOP gerrymandering itself into oblivion? 844-967-2789. Just a couple of last tidbits from that ProPublica article about Marge, the 20-plus year county clerk from Green Lake, who now serves on the Wisconsin Elections Commission, is receiving threatening phone calls, was effectively forced out of the Green Lake Republican Party, and is now the subject of a lawsuit brought by one Mr. Peter Berneger. And just for clarity's sake, I don't know that Mr. Berneger has a trust fund or was born very wealthy. He is the grandson of the founders of Hillshire Farm. And he is so litigious that a federal judge once said, I can't keep up with all your filings. So I'm guessing the guy, you know, if you're throwing off that much paper, that's probably your full-time job. Here's how Marge summarized it in the end. It's bullying. That's what it is. It's truly bullying. It's almost like they are trying to get the people who are knowledgeable and who do a good job to quit and to instead have people who don't know how to do the job come in. Well, Marge, that about sums it up, doesn't it? Between that statement from Marge and Don Millis saying there's a small group of people who are trying to get paid or raise money by spreading lies through social media. It's not about winning or preventing fraud. It's about grifting. There are many people who believe them who don't know any better. Those are two longtime Republicans, folks. Don't be one of those people they're talking about. Okay? Jack, you're up next on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you, friend?
I was talking about the gerrymandering issue. So I always get a kick on when someone starts their conversation. Well, the Democrats, you know, well, the Democrats he's talking about, you know, that's 20 years ago. There's none of them in office anymore. That's a long time ago, and they were doing no different than the Republicans. They kind of had a gentleman's agreement. Okay, the party in power gets a slight edge, and that's the way he handled it up until Scott Walker, which came. We had extremist gerrymandering, and most people believe it's probably the most extreme in the country. So, and it's resulted in a legislature that, even though Democrats, it's like a 50-50 in the states, Democrats voted for in the state, people voted for Biden in the state, et cetera. And judge, Supreme Court justice.
Yep.
But it's two thirds Republicans in the legislature because of the extreme gerrymander. So the fellow's talking apples and oranges when he's comparing past to the present and the Walker gerrymander to other gerrymanders.
I couldn't agree with you more. Thanks so much for the call, Jack. Peter, you're up next on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Well, Maggie. This is Peter Barca calling. Love your detailed research and so many great points you've been bringing up, and appreciate that. I think your listeners are fortunate to get all that great information.
Oh, well, Mr. Barca, thank you for your leadership and public service to the citizens and residents of the state of Wisconsin. I'm so honored to have you call. It has always been a pleasure when my professional life has intersected with yours. And I just, on behalf of everybody in the state of Wisconsin, you've always been both a gentleman and a scholar and really cared about the impact of policy on Wisconsinites. So my hat's off to you, sir. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, terrific. Well, welcome to WRJN. You know, being a longtime legislator, a member of Congress from the Kenosha Racine area, it's important that we have sharp people who are bringing forward issues that really matter. So we appreciate you, Maggie. Keep it coming.
I will do my best, Representative Barker. My hat's off to you, sir. An illustrious career of service indeed. Thanks so much for calling and keep listening. We're not just on WRJN. We're all over the state now. If you want to listen to us uninterrupted anywhere in the state of Wisconsin or in the world, you can do that by going to get the Civic Media app from your favorite app store. And here's what happens when incredibly extreme, stupid things and people are allowed to take hold of legislators and governors' offices. They become drunk with power. That's what happened with Governor Walker. All of a sudden, had both chambers of the Wisconsin legislature and thought, well, I'll show them, won't I? That's what we've got going on in Florida, folks. And I wanted to point this out. Then I'm going to let callers and texters have the last word today, 844-967-2789. Has the GOP gerrymandered itself into its own demise? Who are, if there are any, the last pylons mooring the GOP to the reasonableness dock? I don't know that there are many. But here's what happened in Florida today. Ron DeSantis removed for the second time an elected district attorney. Not for cause, for politics. And by doing so, Governor DeSantis has now nullified the votes by removing these people who were duly elected. They're elected district attorneys. One is from the Tampa area. One is from the Orlando area. One is black. They are both Democrats. Remove them for political reasons, not because they pilfered money or cheated or did their jobs poorly. He has nullified the votes of 3.3 million Floridians. That's 15% of Florida's population. He has said to them, you do not matter. Your votes do not matter. That is the logical extension of gerrymandering, folks. So if you believe that women have the right to choose, and if you believe that there should be one person, one vote, and that every legitimately cast vote should count, that voting should be easy, fraud-free, and open to every citizen elector, then you cannot vote for Republicans anymore, because that is not what they believe in. Kevin, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it quick, my friend. We just got about a minute and a half left.
My father-in-law is from Green Bay. He's a lifelong Republican. He's probably more liberal than anything. And he thinks that if Trump would have not gotten in, that we would not be in the trouble we're in. He thinks that if Colin Powell would have ran against Obama in 2008. He would have won.
Yeah, I think that's a really we can do the like what would have happened if, right? There's a lot of that. I'm sorry, Mark from the SAC. You just got 10 seconds. You got to keep it real tight, my friend. What say you? You got the final word today.
They have, and the districts need to be contiguous and compact. And the Republicans were all in violation of 775 of Wisconsin law. That were the fake electors. Not only were they fake electors, they also violated the state and federal constitution.
Sorry, we got to go. That's it.